Chapter 4. Operations Structure. Chapter 4 discusses the operational framework that enables commanders to visualize and describe operations. It begins with the operations structure as a whole, then it discusses the operations process. The chapter concludes with a discussion of the Army operational framework. Construct for operations structure. The operations structure consists of the operations process, combat power, and the operational framework. This is the Army's common construct for unified land operations. It allows Army leaders to organize efforts rapidly, effectively, and in a manner commonly understood across the Army. The operations process provides a broadly defined approach to developing and executing operations. The warfighting functions provide a common organization for critical functions. The operational framework provides Army leaders with conceptual options for arraying forces and visualizing and describing operations. Operations process. The operations process is a commander-led activity informed by mission command principles. It consists of the major command and control activities performed during operations, planning, preparing, executing, and continuously assessing an operation. These activities may be sequential or simultaneous. They are rarely discrete and often involve a great deal of overlap. Commanders use the operations process to drive the planning necessary to understand, visualize, and describe their unique operational environments, make and articulate decisions, and direct, lead, and assess military operations. See ADP 50 for a detailed discussion of the operations process. Planning is the art and science of understanding a situation, envisioning a desired future, and laying out effective ways of bringing that future about. ADP 50. Planning consists of two separate but interrelated components, a conceptual component and a detailed component. Successful planning requires the integration of both components. Army leaders employ three methodologies for planning: the Army Design Methodology, the Military Decision-Making Process, and Troop Leading Procedures. Commanders determine how much of each methodology to use based on the scope of the problem, their familiarity with the methodology, the echelon, and the time available. Preparation consists of those activities performed by units and soldiers to improve their ability to execute an operation. ADP 50. Preparation creates conditions that improve friendly forces' opportunities for success. It requires commander, staff, unit, and soldier actions to ensure the force is trained, equipped, and ready to execute operations. Preparation activities help commanders, staffs, and soldiers understand a situation and their roles in upcoming operations and set conditions for successful execution. Execution is the act of putting a plan into action by applying combat power to accomplish the mission and adjusting operations based on changes in the situation. ADP 50. Commanders and staffs use situational understanding to assess progress and make execution and adjustment decisions. In execution, commanders and staffs focus their efforts on translating decisions into actions. They apply combat power to seize, retain, and exploit the initiative to gain and maintain a position of relative advantage. This is the essence of unified land operations. Finally, assessment is determination of the progress toward accomplishing a task, creating a condition, or achieving an objective. JP 30. Assessment precedes and then occurs during the other activities of the operations process. Assessment involves deliberately comparing forecasted outcomes with actual events to determine the overall effectiveness of force employment. Assessment helps commanders determine progress toward achieving a desired end state, accomplishing objectives, and performing tasks. Army Design Methodology in the Operations Process. The Army design methodology is useful as an aid to conceptual thinking about unfamiliar problems. To produce executable plans, commanders integrate the Army design methodology with the detailed planning typically associated with the military decision-making process. Commanders who use the Army design methodology may gain a greater understanding of an operational environment and its problems. Once they have an understanding of the environment, they can better visualize an appropriate operational approach. This greater understanding allows commanders to provide a clear commander's intent and concept of operations. Army design methodology is iterative, collaborative, and continuous. As the operations process unfolds, the commander, staff, subordinates, and other partners continue collaboration to improve their shared understanding. An improved understanding may lead to modifications to the commander's operational approach or an entirely new approach altogether. See ATP 50.1 for more information on Army design methodology. The military decision-making process. The military decision-making process is an iterative planning methodology. It integrates activities of the commander, staff, subordinate headquarters, and other partners. This integration enables them to understand the situation and mission, develop, analyze, and compare courses of action, decide on the course of action that best accomplishes the mission, and produce an order for execution. The military decision-making process applies to both conceptual and detailed approaches. It is most closely associated with detailed planning. For unfamiliar problems, executable solutions typically require integrating the Army design methodology with the military decision-making process. The military decision-making process helps leaders apply thoroughness, clarity, sound judgment, logic, and professional knowledge so they understand situations, develop options to solve problems, and reach decisions. This process helps commanders, staffs, and others to think critically and creatively while planning. See ADP 50 for more information on the military decision-making process. Troop leading procedures. Troop leading procedures is a dynamic process used by small unit leaders to analyze a mission, develop a plan, and prepare for an operation. Heavily weighted in favor of familiar problems and short planning periods, troop leading procedures are typically employed by organizations without staffs at the company level and below. Leaders use troop leading procedures to solve tactical problems when working alone or with a small group. For example, a company commander may use the executive officer, first sergeant, fire support officer, supply sergeant, and communications sergeant to help during troop leading procedures. See ADP 50 for more information on troop leading procedures. Combat power. To execute operations, commanders conceptualize capabilities in terms of combat power. Combat power has 8 elements: leadership, information, command and control, movement and maneuver, intelligence, fires, sustainment, and protection. The Army collectively describes the last 6 elements as warfighting functions. Commanders apply combat power through warfighting functions using leadership and information. Army Operational Framework. An operational framework is a cognitive tool that commanders and staffs use to visualize and describe the application of combat power in time, space, purpose, and resources as they develop the concept of operations. An operational framework organizes an area of geographic and operational responsibility for the commander and provides a way to describe the employment of forces. The framework illustrates the relationship between close operations, operations in depth, and other operations in time and space across domains. As a visualization tool, the operational framework bridges the gap between a unit's conceptual understanding of the environment and its need to generate detailed orders that direct operations. Staffs anticipate changes in the situation over time and plan to add, subtract, or update elements of the operational framework. This contributes to shared understanding and helps inform the continuous adjustment of graphic control measures and other tools to direct operations. Due to the dynamic characteristics of operations, operational frameworks are dependent on the mission variables and not static templates. The operational framework has four components. First, commanders are assigned an area of operations for the conduct of operations. Second, commanders can designate deep, close, support, and consolidation areas to describe the physical arrangement of forces in time and space. Third, within these areas, commanders conduct decisive, shaping, and sustaining operations to articulate an operation in terms of purpose. Finally, commanders designate the main and supporting efforts to designate the shifting prioritization of resources. Area of operations. An area of operations is an operational area defined by a commander for land and maritime forces that should be large enough to accomplish their missions and protect their forces. JP 3O. For land operations, an area of operations includes subordinate areas of operations assigned by Army commanders to their subordinate echelons. In operations, commanders use control measures to assign responsibilities, coordinate fire and maneuver, and control combat operations. A control measure is a means of regulating forces or warfighting functions, ADP 6.0. One of the most important control measures is the assigned area of operations. The Army Commander or Joint Force Land Component Commander is the supported commander within an area of operations designated by the JFC for land operations. Within their areas of operations, commanders integrate and synchronize combat power. To facilitate this integration and synchronization, commanders designate targeting priorities, effects, and timing within their areas of operations. Responsibilities within an area of operations include terrain management, information collection, integration, and synchronization, civil affairs operations, movement control, clearance of fires, security, personnel recovery, airspace control, minimum essential stability operations tasks. Commanders consider a unit's area of influence when assigning it an area of operations. An area of influence is a geographical area wherein a commander is directly capable of influencing operations by maneuver or fire support systems normally under the commander's command or control, JP 3.0. Understanding an area of influence helps the commander and staff plan branches to the current operation in which the force uses capabilities outside the area of operations. An area of operations should not be substantially larger than the unit's area of influence. Ideally, the area of influence would encompass the entire area of operations. An area of operations that is too large for a unit to effectively control increases risk, allowing sanctuaries for enemy forces and limiting joint flexibility. An area of interest is that area of concern to the commander, including the area of influence, areas adjacent thereto, and extending into enemy territory, JP 3.0. This area also includes areas occupied by enemy forces who could jeopardize the accomplishment of the mission. An area of interest for stability or DISCA may be much larger than that area associated with the offense and defense. The area of interest always encompasses aspects of the air, cyberspace, and space domains, since capabilities resident in all three enable and affect operations on land. Areas of operations may be contiguous or non-contiguous. When they are contiguous, a boundary separates them. When areas of operations are non-contiguous, subordinate commands do not share a boundary. The higher echelon headquarters retains responsibility for areas not assigned to subordinate units. Deep, close, support, and consolidation areas. The deep area is where the commander sets conditions for future success in close combat. Operations in the deep area involve efforts to prevent uncommitted enemy forces from being committed in a coherent manner. A commander's deep area generally extends beyond subordinate unit boundaries out to the limits of the commander's designated area of operations. The purpose of operations in the deep area is often tied to setting conditions for future events in time and space. Operations in the deep area might disrupt the movement of operational reserves or prevent enemy forces from employing long-range fires. In an operational environment where the enemy recruits insurgents from a population, deep operations might focus on interfering with the recruiting process, disrupting the training of recruits, or eliminating the underlying factors that enable the enemy to recruit. Planning for operations in the deep area includes considerations for information collection, airspace control, joint fires, obstacle emplacement, maneuver, air and ground, special operations, and information operations. The higher echelon headquarters is responsible for deep areas within its area of operations. In some instances, a deep area may focus along a single line of operation. In other instances, a deep area may focus along multiple lines of operations. The mission variables of METTC inform the methods leaders use to direct operations in a deep area. The close area is the portion of the commander's area of operations where the majority of subordinate maneuver forces conduct close combat. Operations in the close area are within a subordinate commander's area of operations. Commanders plan to conduct decisive operations using maneuver and fires in the close area, and they position most of the maneuver force in it. In the close area, depending on the echelon, one unit may conduct a decisive operation, while others conduct shaping operations to fix a specific enemy formation or defeat remnants of bypassed or defeated enemy forces. Planning for operations in the close area includes fire control measures, movement control measures, maneuver, and obstacle emplacement. Operations in the close area are inherently lethal because they often involve direct fire engagements with enemy forces seeking to mass direct, indirect, and aerial fires against friendly forces. A support area is the portion of the commander's area of operations that is designated to facilitate the positioning, employment, and protection of base sustainment assets required to sustain, enable, and control operations. Commanders assign a support area as a subordinate area of operations to support functions. It is where most of the echelon's sustaining operations occur. Within a division or corps support area, a designated unit, such as a Brigade Combat Team, BCT, or Maneuver Enhancement Brigade, provides area security, terrain management, movement control, mobility support, clearance of fires, and tactical combat forces for security. This allows sustainment units to focus on their primary function. Corps and divisions may have one or multiple support areas, located as required to best support the force. These areas may be non-contiguous to the other areas, in the close area or in the consolidation area. The consolidation area is the portion of the land commander's area of operations that may be designated to facilitate freedom of action, consolidate gains through decisive action, and set conditions to transition the area of operations to follow-on forces or other legitimate authorities. Commanders establish a consolidation area, particularly in the offense, as the friendly force gains territory to exploit tactical success while enabling freedom of action for forces operating in the other areas. A consolidation area has all the characteristics of a close area, with the purpose to consolidate gains through decisive action once large-scale ground combat has largely ended in that particular area of operations. The consolidation area does not necessarily need to surround nor contain the support area base clusters. It requires a purposefully task-organized, combined arms unit to perform area security and stability tasks and employ and clear fires. This unencumbers units conducting close operations and enables the higher echelon headquarters to focus on close operations, deep operations, and future planning. Corps and divisions may designate multiple consolidation areas. Units designated to a consolidation area conduct decisive action to defeat remnants of defeated or bypassed forces and stabilize the area for transition to legitimate authority. The forces necessary to consolidate gains represent a separate and distinct requirement beyond the BCTs and divisions required to conduct close and deep operations. To consolidate gains properly, the theater army plans and requests the additional required forces through the force tailoring process. Decisive, shaping, and sustaining operations. Decisive, shaping, and sustaining operations lend themselves to a broad conceptual orientation. The decisive operation is the operation that directly accomplishes the mission. The decisive operation is the focal point around which commanders design an entire operation. The decisive operation is designed to determine the outcome of a major operation, battle, or engagement. Multiple subordinate units may be engaged in the same decisive operation across multiple domains. Decisive operations lead directly to the accomplishment of the commander's intent. A shaping operation is an operation at any echelon that creates and preserves conditions for success of the decisive operation through effects on the enemy, other actors, and the terrain. Information operations, for example, may integrate engagement tasks into an operation to reduce tensions between army units and different ethnic groups. In combat, synchronizing the effects of aircraft, artillery fires, and obscurance to delay or disrupt repositioning forces illustrates shaping operations. Shaping operations may occur throughout the area of operations and involve any combination of forces and capabilities across multiple domains. Shaping operations set conditions for the success of the decisive operation. Commanders may designate more than one shaping operation. A sustaining operation is an operation at any echelon that enables the decisive operation or shaping operations by generating and maintaining combat power. Sustaining operations focus internally on friendly forces, while decisive and shaping operations focus externally on the enemy or environment. Sustaining operations include personnel and logistics support, support area security, movement control, terrain management, and infrastructure development. Sustaining operations are inseparable from decisive and shaping operations. Sustaining operations occur throughout the area of operations, not just within a support area. Failure to sustain results in mission failure. Sustaining operations determine endurance, tempo, and operational reach. They also determine how quickly Army forces reconstitute and how far Army forces can exploit success. Throughout decisive, shaping, and sustaining operations, commanders and their staffs need to ensure that forces maintain positions of relative advantage. Operations are integrated with unified action partners. Continuity is maintained throughout operations. Position of relative advantage. A position of relative advantage is a location or the establishment of a favorable condition within the area of operations that provides the commander with temporary freedom of action to enhance combat power over an enemy or influence the enemy to accept risk and move to a position of disadvantage. Positions of relative advantage may extend across multiple domains to provide opportunities for units to compel, persuade, or deter enemy decisions or actions. Commanders seek and create positions of advantage to exploit through action, and they continually assess friendly and enemy forces in relation to each other for opportunities to exploit. A key aspect in achieving a position of advantage is maneuver, which is movement in conjunction with fires. Army forces must quickly both recognize and exploit positions of relative advantage because they are likely to be temporary when faced with capable, adaptive enemy forces attempting to gain a position of advantage over friendly forces. Commanders and staffs analyze relative capabilities across all domains that can influence an operation. Significant advantages in one domain can significantly offset disadvantages in another. Integration. Army forces operate as part of a larger joint and multinational effort with numerous unified action partners. Army leaders integrate Army capabilities within this larger effort. Commanders enabled by their staffs integrate numerous processes and activities within their formations and across the joint force. Integration involves efforts to operate with unified action partners and efforts to employ Army capabilities as part of the larger operational concept. Army leaders use Army capabilities to complement those of their unified action partners. They also depend on partners' capabilities to supplement Army capabilities. Effective integration requires staffs to create a shared understanding and purpose through collaboration with unified action partners. Continuity. Decision-making during operations is continuous. It is not a discrete event. Commanders carefully balance priorities between current and future operations as part of controlling risk. They seek to accomplish the mission effectively while conserving resources for future operations. To maintain continuity of operations, commanders and staffs establish branches and sequels that facilitate future operations and reduce the risk inherent to transitions. Commanders only make changes to plans when necessary. This presents subordinates with the fewest possible changes and the most time to spend on their own planning and execution. The fewer the changes, the less planning needed, and the greater the chance that the changes will be executed successfully. When possible, commanders should ensure that changes do not preclude options for future operations. Normally, this applies only to higher echelons with organic planning capabilities. Staffs develop options during planning, or commanders infer them based on their assessment of the current situation. Developing or inferring options depends on validating earlier assumptions and updating planning factors and running estimates. Future operations may be wargamed using updated planning factors, estimates, and assumptions. Main and supporting efforts. Commanders designate main and supporting efforts to establish clear priorities of support and resources among subordinate units. The main effort is a designated subordinate unit whose mission at any given point in time is most critical to overall mission success. It is usually weighted with the preponderance of combat power. Typically, commanders shift the main effort one or more times during execution. Designating a main effort temporarily prioritizes resource allocation. When commanders designate a unit as the main effort, it receives priority of support and resources to maximize combat power. Commanders establish clear priorities of support, and they shift resources and priorities to the main effort as circumstances and the commander's intent require. Commanders may designate a unit conducting a shaping operation as the main effort until the decisive operation commences. However, the unit with primary responsibility for the decisive operation then becomes the main effort upon the execution of the decisive operation. A supporting effort is a designated subordinate unit with a mission that supports the success of the main effort. Commanders resource supporting efforts with the minimum assets necessary to accomplish the mission. Forces often realize success of the main effort through success of supporting efforts.